2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. All of us are going to read together. Are you ready? Let's go. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Pride check 101. That's our topic. Okay, last time I was sharing about how God taught me from Proverbs 25 not to fight for a front seat. And in Luke 18, Jesus repeated that and said, if you find yourself at a wedding feast, he said, don't go sit on the front seat. He said, it's better for them to take you from the back and put you in front than for them to take you from the front and to take you to the back in the presence of everybody. Okay? And then he said, anyone who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. That sounds simple enough to understand, isn't it? But human nature doesn't understand it. Human nature doesn't understand it. Because pride is a product of the sin nature which every human being inherited from Adam. Okay? So we began to ask ourselves some questions that we need to ask ourselves. So that's why we're doing this. It's a check. I want to check my pride quotient. Every human being is born with the sin nature. Therefore, all of us have capacity for pride. And before you get too proud of the fact that there are some sins you have not committed, we like to remind you that there are some you have not committed simply because you can't afford them. We need to give you a bit more money, or some more position, or some more power, and there we can see whether really you are as cool as you say you are. But 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And this is what I love about being a believer. It's the fact that God expects us through the help of the Holy Spirit to do self-diagnosis. See? If you're a doctor, if you make a wrong diagnosis, your prescription is going to be wrong. So, the good thing here is God has not made any one of us judge over other people. You know, I think it's Romans 14:5 that says, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his servant he stands or falls. He said, to his master he stands or falls. He said, and God is able to make him stand. So, what's your big deal? So, some people don't know that in church, God is the ultimate judge, but God expects each person to deal with his or our own issues. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7, judge not, so that you will not be judged. Therefore, with the same measure that you give out judgment, it will be measured back to you. And he asked, why are you concerned about the speck in your brother's eye when there is a log that is coming out of your own? He said, remove first the log from your own eye. That's how it works in Christianity. He said, remove the log from your eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to help your brother. The use of words is very deliberate. What's in your brother's eye is a speck. What is coming out of yours is an electric pole. Okay? And Jesus is saying, the reason why you think that the other person has such a big problem is because you have a big problem that is distorting your lenses. So the more problems you have, the bigger you perceive other problems to be. That's how it works in God's economy. So if you have the tendency to see a lot of problems in people's lives, you need to do a serious self-check. A serious self-check. So, in fact, when you look at the proportions, you will see that if you face your business, you won't have time for other people. Because what they have is, what they have has specs. You have an electric pole. You have a lot of work to do. So, in God's economy, I love this. The Holy Spirit rings this in my spirit all the time. He's been doing that. I came across this passage of scripture, and especially that sentence. Let me see. Some 25 years ago, I wrote an article on it in a magazine when I was a youth pastor. And since then, it rings in my spirit all the time. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. It's self-diagnosis. Amen? Good. So, that's why we want to do the pride check. And we need to do it once in a while. Last time, we asked two questions. Do you like to always be superior to others? Very important. Do you like to always, because in 3 John verse 9, the apostle mentioned Diotrephes, who liked to have the preeminence amongst the brethren. He always liked to be first and above everybody, and he had a problem accepting the teachings of the apostles. So John the apostle said, the guy was always opposing our teachings and the messages that we sent to the church. Okay. Let me ask a few more questions. Remember, this is Pride Check 101. Some people are keeping so quiet. It's like, I hope this thing won't come my way today. Don't worry. Everything is under the blood. First Samuel 2 and verse 3. You had two women, Hannah and Penina. In those days, they had the same husband. Hannah didn't have children. She didn't have any child. Penina had quite a few. I'll move back to chapter 1 so we get a clear idea of the scenario. If you read from verse 1, it says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Penina. Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. Okay. Jump to verse 4. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Penina, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. That's how they used to describe it in those days. But look at the dynamics between them. Verse 6. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. That's what they used to believe in those days. Anything that happened, good or bad, it was God. But that's not our focus. Verse 7, so it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Question. Do you have the tendency to deride someone who is experiencing a misfortune? Do you have the tendency to deride someone who is experiencing a misfortune or a setback? Remember, what we just want to check for are those tendencies. Bear in mind, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So spiritual warfare is described as wrestling, or is compared to wrestling. And in wrestling, because I like to watch wrestling. My wife doesn't. I like to watch wrestling. Most ladies don't like to watch wrestling. A few do. But they are the exception. And it is understandable. Because guys are designed for competition. When they are in anything, somebody must win. When they are driving on the road, someone must win. You'll be amazed the amount of competition that I see on the road. And since I realize someone wants to be champion, I allow them to be champion easily. So I don't bash my car. And it occurs to me that nobody will get a medal for overtaking somebody else on the road right within the city. So I allow them to win, and I know it gives them some adrenaline rush and makes them feel very good. God bless them. Women are relational. So they just can't understand why two people should be twisting their hands, twisting their legs, and hitting themselves on the ground. So I like to watch wrestling. just like sometimes when I'm driving on the road and Nika is there, and you know, one of those days on the bridge, the Third Mainland Bridge, I was racing and she said, slow down, let's enjoy the ride. Of course, yours obedient servant. I slowed down. Although I was thinking in my mind, how do we enjoy this ride when all the cars whose engine capacities are not anywhere near mine are overtaking my car? How do we enjoy the ride? Anyway, let's enjoy the ride. So, if you leave a man all by himself, he'll be driving at normal speed on the road. The moment a car comes and wants to overtake him, an anointing comes on him. What's about? He suddenly realizes he could move faster. It's the design. It's in the design. It needs to be managed, but it's in the design. Okay. So, we have a scenario. If we go back to the story in the Bible, where someone has kids the other person doesn't have. And the tendency, okay, the tendency just comes up. The tendency to gloat, you know, over the fact that the scenario proves that I am better than her. See, when you're humble, the Bible says that God will exalt you. If you experience promotion or you experience increase, one of the simple lessons you have to learn is to not rub it in. Don't flaunt. Listen, when you are greater than someone, it's usually obvious. That you have more money is obvious. That you have a bigger car is obvious. In fact, that you have a car and he or she doesn't have is obvious. There is no need to rub it in. Humble people don't rub it in. They don't have to flaunt it. Penina made Hannah's life miserable. She taunted Hannah. Okay. Someone says, there's a reason why. It was the other way before. It was the other way before. It was the other way before. You know? She had. I didn't have. Or he had. I didn't have. And they thought it would last forever like that. If you know what she said, if you know what he did, it's payback time. And all around I see communication, messages from people who have been hurt in the past like that and who are trying to get back at those who did something to them. You know, when you read, like I used to read on a lorry, or some lorries when I was young, many years ago, no woman, no cry. That's from experience. Or, the rich man is not God. That's a message for someone. That's a message for someone. And the one that used to amuse me, let my enemy live long. And see what I will become. You know what? Become whatever you want to become. Leave the enemy alone. But then we know the story. Things changed. Hannah got a son. In fact, she got children. So in 1 Samuel 2, from verse 1, the Bible says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Verse 3, talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. So, the question again, do you have the tendency to deride someone who is experiencing a misfortune? Do you have the tendency to talk down on someone just because things are not working for them at the moment? If you go to Obadiah, there's only one chapter in that book of the Bible, very interesting book, towards the end of the Old Testament. After Amos, before Jonah, I suspect some people don't know either of the two, so ask your neighbor for help. Obadiah chapter 1, from verse 11. In the day that you stood on the other side In the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. Verse 12. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. See? Remember, what I just said is tendency. That's what we want to deal with. The tendency. You know, the proofs that we need help from God. You know, the key thing to the Christian life is absolute reliance on the Holy Spirit. Absolute reliance on the Holy Spirit for help. Sin is a spiritual force. It's a nature. Your determination can't handle sin. Can't. You couldn't be more determined than Peter, who vowed before Jesus, no one will touch you without having to deal with me. Jesus said, we won't even go that far. Before the cock crows, you deny me 3 times. He said, I'll never deny you. Now that's determination. When, when the real thing came, and someone said, I know this man. He's one of the disciples of Jesus. Peter said, me? I think you are mistaken. I have absolutely nothing to do with the man. Another person came and said, no, you're one of his disciples. I said, I don't know the man. I've never met him before. The way you came is the way I came. Then after some time, they said, one man looked at him, but surely you are like one of the, if I even listen to your accent. Listen to your accent. You have an accent. Yeah, exactly. You speak like a Galilean. Then the Bible says he began to swear to God who made me. Then he had the cuckoo. How are the mighty falling? So, what we're encouraging us to do is not determination. I will not forget it. People stronger than you have made bigger resolutions than that. And they didn't work. Holy Spirit, help me. That's the solution. Amen. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. That's what he said. So I'm just talking about a tendency to be happy when you hear that something bad happened to someone who seems to be ahead of you. I know there are many people who really loved that soap opera, The Rich of Sokra. Yeah. The Rich of Sokra makes us happy. When you become rich, you won't say that anymore. Okay. Another question. Do you pick quarrels easily? Because I was reading Proverbs chapter 13, and that was many years ago. I was still a student, and this particular verse struck me in verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So wherever there is strife, he says it is proof there is pride. Watch your pridometer. Because somebody is trying to prove something. It's either prove I'm better than you, or I'm stronger than you, or my idea is better than yours. You remember what we read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each do what? Esteem others what? Better than. Some of us grew up in environments where your permission to talk depends on your status. The fact that you are present does not give you permission to speak. In some instances, it's just simply because of your financial status. You have an idea and you want to contribute to the discussion. Somebody says, shut up. What do you have to say? And the fact that you don't have money doesn't mean that you don't have wisdom. At least because we hear in Ecclesiastes 9 about the poor man who by his wisdom delivered the city. But you see the result there. They said that his wisdom was despised. Mm-hmm. He said he was despised because he was poor. That's the way human beings behave. Human beings judge based on the outward, not on the inward. So, when you have such a scenario, people find it difficult to believe that others are better than them who don't have what they have. I mean, you don't have the educational qualification that I have. You don't have as much money as I have. Your position is not anywhere near mine. In terms of family status, you're not anywhere near me. So how do I consider you or esteem you better than I am? Because in my estimation, you are not. But we belong to a different system. And in that system, a man's true value is not in the things he possesses. Is that not what Jesus said in Luke 12? Beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. He said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, that's the whole material world, and loses his own soul? In the system to which we belong, one human soul is worth more than the whole material world put together. You see, in our system, we value human life. That's the interpretation of love for us. We see everyone through God's eyes. Every human being is an extension of God. Everybody came from God. God made us in his image. And I love an illustration that someone gave one day, you know, when he brought out some currency. Exact same currency, two of them, one crisp new and the other one dirty, rumpled. And he asked, which of these two is more valuable? And some people were pointing at the new one. And he said, you are mistaken. You take the two of them to the supermarket, they'll buy exactly the same thing. He said, which means that though one may look more beautiful than the other, the real value has not been eroded by the experiences that the other one went through. See, there is something God put inside you that terrorism cannot take away. Poverty can't take it. Failure in examinations cannot take it. A physical disability cannot take it. See, when you live in an environment where the true value of human life has not been discovered, people are measured by the completeness of their bodies. And once a finger is missing from someone's body or one small part, that automatically causes people to label such a person. And to make the person to believe that he or she is not complete anymore. Listen, the value, the true value of a human being is not in the physical body. Anybody should know that. Almost 70% of your body is water. If we break down your body, analyze everything, because your body is made up of chemicals. All the chemicals in the soil, whatever you can find in the soil, is what we find in your body. Just like almost 70% of the earth's surface is covered by water, almost 70% of your body is water. If we take what is left and break it down, it will be potassium, calcium, sodium, chlorine, phosphorus, magnesium, and the rest of them. If we take them to the market and we sell them, how much do you think they will go for? If all of your value is there, you're cheap. We live in a world today where people worship bodies. We believe that we are spirits. We have souls. We live in bodies that we drop when we leave this world. Some people believe that they are bodies that have souls. When you see through God's eyes, you never judge anyone based on their physical appearance. Some people have made serious mistakes that way. Okay? So, it is through pride that strife comes. If you find yourself trying to run somebody down, coming into conflict, and I'm telling you, one of the things that breaks my heart the most is to see two people throwing fisticuffs on the road. I'm telling you, there's one word that describes this, ego. Someone is trying to prove, I'm stronger than you, I'm bigger than you. Sometimes the results are not funny. Just thank God if the person doesn't have a gun or a knife. There's no point proving anything there. Humility will save your life. If a madman slaps you, what should you do? No. Listen, how can someone who is not in his right mind slap you and get away with it when you are in your right mind? You should prove something to the person, isn't it? The result. The first thing is, whoever sees you and the madman slapping each other will not be able to make the difference. If you are the first to get out of strife, you've discovered the secret of humility. And a lot of the time, when the emotions are high, reason takes second place. So the truth is, you find it difficult to think objectively at that point. When you are angry with someone, the quality of the person's ideas don't matter anymore. If someone doesn't like you, they won't like your ideas. That's why when you sense the temperature going up, you sense the tension coming up on the discussion, it's better to take a break and say, you know what? Let's discuss this later. We'll come back to this thing later. And if, like the Bible says in Philippians 2:3, you esteem others better than yourself, then your first assumption is that this person must know what he or she is talking about. Though I can't see it, I need to try to see it. There must be something there. So if you tell someone that, you know what? I'm sure you're trying to make a point. I'm sure you have a point, although I can't see it. I'm sure you have a point. Well, can we come back to this thing later? Okay? Can we come back to this later? Then when the emotions have calmed down, you can objectively try to look at what the person was saying, and sometimes you'll be surprised at the result. Because there was a man, a brother, who had this heated argument with his wife, and, you know, he got angry, took his car key, jumped into his car, and drove to the office. But just driving on the road gave him the opportunity to go over the discussion. Then he got some insight. When he got to the office, and it was right here, and it was in the days when we didn't have the GSM phones. Okay, so when he got to the office, then he picked his phone, dialed his wife, and said, I'm sorry about the argument, but I just wanted to clarify something. Is this what you were trying to say? She said, exactly, that was what I was trying to say. He said, that was exactly what I was saying. They had a heated argument, and they meant the same thing. Do you have the tendency to pick quarrels easily over discussions? Could it be that it's because you don't respect other people, which will result in the fact that you don't respect their ideas? Okay. Examine yourselves. Proverbs chapter 14. Let me see. Now let's do 2 Chronicles 32, and we'll stop with that for tonight. 2 Chronicles 32, from verse 26. King Hezekiah and his test. Second Chronicles chapter 32. Let's back up to 24. Let's start from verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near dead, and he prayed to the Lord. And he spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was what? Lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. It's remarkable how just a slight change of heart attitude can change our circumstances. They said something was looming. See, when you choose to walk in humility, that's the way something looms, but it's something positive. Like I can sense something looming over members of this church. Amen. And it's something good. I see promotion written over it. Amen. Extraordinary promotion. So, I love this. Because, see, it's like a switch. It's just a change of heart attitude. God helped this man, you know. And then they said his heart was lifted up. And then when he realized it, he just switched, humbled himself. Okay? And then the atmosphere changed. Okay, verse 27. Hezekiah had very great riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, and for all kinds of desirable items, storehouses for the harvest of grain, wine, and oil, and stores for all kinds of livestock and folds for flocks. Moreover, he provided cities for himself and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him very much property. This same Hezekiah also stopped the water outlet of Upper Gihon and brought the water by tunnel to the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Verse 31. However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to inquire to
whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Something extraordinary happened. And people had to come from other countries to ask Hezekiah, what happened? Beyond explaining what it was, Hezekiah began to show them his prosperity. Now, I don't think the problem was with the fact that Hezekiah prospered, because the Bible records it. It was God who blessed him. I think it was the attitude. You know, there's a way you say it, and people literally want to worship you. You're a winner. You are an achiever. We have names for people like that. People who make it. You have made it. You are not an ordinary human being anymore. There was a king like that in the Bible. Was it Acts 12? King Herod? The man who made an oration, and they said there were people around who were seeking his favor. When he had made the oration, the Bible says that the people of Tyre and Sidon said to King Herod, "Sir, this is the voice of a god, not the voice of a man. There are anointed sycophants." Anointed. I mean, come to think, how could people say that? How could you say that? But sure, the voice of a god, not the voice of a man. And he was enjoying it. And the Bible says that an angel slapped it. And worms began to eat his body while he was still standing on his feet. He died that day. Okay, so the point here is, do you have the tendency to take the credit for things that God did in your life? Moses told Israel what would happen when they got to the land of Canaan. When you get there, you guys are going to prosper. And these were former slaves. You guys are going to prosper. He told them, but be careful, he said, lest you begin to say to yourselves, by the power of my own hands, I have gotten all these things. He said in verse 18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Do we have the tendency to take the credit for... Listen, there are standards which people use in our world to measure success. When God has really helped you, God helped Hezekiah. Look at him. He prospered in all his works. He had much property. It was God's blessing. But when Hezekiah had to show people around, there was no mention of God. Was you see, you know what we did? You know what we did? This was what we did. This was what we did. He said, wow, that was smart. That's right. You know what we did? So God said, oh, you did? So they said there was wrath, evil, looming, God's anger, looming over a whole country. Gratefully, he quickly realized what he did. Ah! I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Okay, so do you have the tendency to take the credit for what God's done in your life? Do you remember the man there in Luke 12 that Jesus was talking about? The man who planted crops and his ground brought forth plentifully, brought forth abundantly, to the extent that the man was saying to himself, what am I going to do now? He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my warehouses, my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones, he said. He said, I'm going to store all my crops. He said, then I will say to my soul, Relax. Relax. Said, take. Eat, drink, and be. Now I'm going to party all night. Jesus said, then God spoke from heaven and said, you are a fool. Tonight your soul will be required of you. Then who will own all those things that you spent your life amassing or acquiring? The human mind is so fickle. The human brain is so small, but it overrates itself. Overrates itself. It doesn't take much to make a human being trip up. It doesn't take much. Just a slight change of perspective that Satan gives you, like he did for Eve. Do you have the tendency, or do we have the tendency to take the credit for what God is doing or for what God has done? No. What's the solution? It's simple. Anything that happens in your life for good, give God the glory. Amen. Pass the glory to where it really belongs. And I will always remember the passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. Now, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. You see, sometimes you have church leaders, humble. Their followers are proud of the accomplishment of the man of God who is humble. Someone is giving God the glory. It is it is only as that is trying to prove and assert. This is not an ordinary man of God, man. Don't mess with my man of God. Amen. Don't mess. Okay. Verse 7. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not? So, in God's system, there are no achievers. You only have receivers. So if we use the language achiever, please understand what it means in our system. Super receiver. Amen. I'm a receiver. He said, what do you have that you didn't receive? If you received it, why were you behaving as if you didn't receive it? So the moment, but the reality is people can't see God. Can they? No, people can't see God. They can only see you and see what God is doing in your life. So the reality is they're going to give you the credit. They're going to give you the credit. But the moment they do it, pass it on. That file shouldn't stop on your table. Pass it on to where it really belongs. When someone said, you know what? You are crazily smart. You say, we thank God for his wisdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that each one here will walk in perfect alignment with destiny. Can you say a word of prayer for just about a minute, Lord? Help me.
Make yours a world of possibilities. Come to Daystar Christian Center this Sunday at plot A3C Ikosi Road, Oregun, Lagos, Nigeria. Join any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:45 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 12:15 p.m. and experience possibilities without limits. Daystar. Raising role models.